Another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Vin. Vin, how are you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Welcome to the show. So let's take a second to introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about what we're the topic we're talking about.
Sounds
today.
Good. Hi, everybody. My name is Vin, and I'm a program manager with the SQL Server team here at Microsoft. I'm focusing on SQL Server on Linux. I think we've heard quite a bit about it recently.
Yep.
A lot of hype.
Yep.
So I'm just here to share a little bit on the topic today.
Sweet. So this is so you and I have talked before, and then you know we've had a couple meetings before this. And one of the big things that I think customers are concerned about, but one of the things we really want to promote is kind of the compatibility between Windows and Linux, right? If I got an application running, you know, how difficult or easy is it going to be for me to run that same application with SQL on Linux, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're going to demo today.
Yep.
Right? Yes, and I'm really excited to see that because this is going to be really awesome.
Cool.
And then we actually have a surprise for everybody after we're done here. So we'll hang out. So go.
Sounds good.
Take it away.
So let's get started here. We have an application that shows a lot of our SQL Server 2016 features, some of our improvements that really improve the programmability surface area.
Yep.
So we have an app here in front of me. It is a product catalog application. So, and it uses quite a few of the new features. So one of the features I'm going to show is JSON. So let's go in here and go to inspect. I'm going to view my network. And here I'm going to click on edit to one of these rows in my products. So by clicking here, it actually goes to my database and it pulls, it makes a query. So let's click on this. And you do see that the data here is JSON type, you know, as opposed to the typical relational. So that's one of the features I want to show in this app. Another feature I like to show is temporal database. Essentially, I have a slider here, and as I slide the slider, what I am doing is querying my database at that point in time. Right. So it's not like I have, so this isn't multiple rows in my database. This is one database that's history versioned.
Right. That's cool.
That's neat.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to add, I'm going to show one more feature here that's introduced new in 2016, and that is data masking. So I'm going to alter my database. So actually, let's go back here and just make an edit really quick. You notice that I have some data about the company here. So let's say that the user of this application shouldn't be looking at this data. So how do we mask this such that we don't have to introduce a lot of new code in our application to do this data masking, but it's inherently available, I mean, it's masked right away once I query the database. So let's go here and run this to make an edit to my database. So here I have the, I'm using VS Code with our SQL Server extension.
Yep, MS SQL extension.
Yep. So let's close this and reopen it again. So now you see that our contact information is masked out.
Very cool.
You know, I didn't have to change anything in my application, and I don't have to induce extra logic here to really mask my data.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so all these features are running on SQL Server on Windows.
Yep.
So let's go and let's go into Visual Studio Code, and I want to emphasize that one of the things that we are constantly focused on is to say that, hey, SQL Server on Linux is the same SQL Server running on anywhere.
Yep.
It's really not that different.
Yeah.
All right. And so to show that point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to comment out this row. And essentially, all I'm doing here is changing a connection string to connect from my SQL Server against that's running on a Windows machine to SQL Server running on my Docker instance.
Okay.
So I'm going to just do a Docker PS just to show that Docker is running in my environment.
Yep, locally. Yep.
Locally. So I'm going to just save this file. I want to stop the application that I currently have running. And I don't even have to rebuild anything, really, because it's just a config change.
Yep.
So let's run this again. It's a few seconds to run. So I'm going to go back to my application. So my application continues to work. So let's just browse around. So I have my index, my products, and let's just, again, use the temporal table.
Yep.
And just go back, same things. Now, if I were to click on one edit, again, data masking, my data is still masked.
Okay.
So that is our first demo here. So that was actually, I would say, fairly easy.
Easy.
Right? It's not that hard. All our database level features that work on Windows continue to work.
On Linux. Right, and all you did was change the connection string, right? And you're like, hey, look, it works on Windows and it works on Linux. See, that's a easy demo, but a very powerful demo to show, look, the like you say, the app compatibility, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
So let's get to the second demo here. And I have a bootcamp application. This is written by a fellow named Victor. This is open source.
Okay.
It is an application written in Python using the Django framework.
Yeah.
So this is a social enterprise social network, kind of like Facebook for companies. And right now, our application is targeted at Postgres.
Okay.
And because it's using an ORM, a lot of the ORMs and frameworks today do have support for SQL Server.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is, right now, our default database is pointed to Postgres. And what I'm going to do on my screen, as you can see, is, So I'm going to change the default database to point at my SQL Server.
Is it your SQL on Linux or SQL Server?
Yeah, so this is the same instance that's running locally.
Okay, yeah.
So here you can see that our host is localhost.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to save this file, and I'm going to open up the terminal that's running our application today. I'm going to stop the application. All right. And what I'm going to do is run a migrate. So essentially what this is going to do is the Django framework is going to populate, is going to run its migration to populate our database to have the same schema.
Okay.
So that it does support the application. So I'm going to run migrate. And you can see here that it is applying all the changes, necessary changes to support the application.
Okay.
So it's going to make a users table, it's going to make a feed table and have the likes, everything that belongs in this network application.
Sweet.
So that was, again, a very simple change. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to run server. Right. And again, I'm not going to do anything special here. I'm going to just re-enter. Now, mind you, none of the data users are there, right? I have a new database, so obviously I cannot be logged in. So I'm going to sign up. I'm going to just sign up here really quick. So just make up a password. Terrible password. But you know, I'm just
PASSWASD.
So here again, you see none of the data, none of the information.
Right.
However, this app works.
Yep.
You know, and all it did again was just change the connection string, run a migrate on the framework.
Okay.
And it just all my schema is there. So what I just showed was using Django and Python.
Yep.
So Django Python is not the only framework and language that has supportability and to SQL Server.
Yeah, there's quite a few frameworks.
There's quite
out there.
A few. Yeah. Yep. There's like Java, Ruby on Rails.
Yeah.
Python, I just showed, .NET, you know, quite a few languages. And this continues to grow. There's always wonderful people in the community writing connectors to SQL Server.
So how powerful, you know, I love the demos, even though, you know, again, very simple demos, but very powerful demos because it showed, look, what works on SQL now works in SQL on Linux, right, without any app code changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for... You know, I've asked this to Rohan, I've asked this to quite a few people, but it'd be interesting to get your perspective. What does this mean for, like, the open source developer, you know, community and those that aren't familiar with SQL, you know, that were like, hey, I'd like to try this. I mean, how powerful is this for them?
I think, really, it comes down to choice.
Yeah.
I mean, it just really provides the choice for the community and anybody who's that wants to just give this a try. I mean, one of the things that we have really been focused on is our install experience. You know, just making this really easy to install. So we have a Docker image on Ubuntu. We have apt-get install and yum for Red Hat and zipper for SUSE. So, you know, it's because it's really easy to install and acquire, as well as really to work with any of the frameworks that you are working with or if you're using, or if you have an existing application targeting SQL Server from Windows. Just trying out SQL Server vNext that's running in Docker or Linux.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Cool. And from if people wanted to start to play with it, right? They could easily spin up a VM, things like that. But you know, how do people get started with something like this? I mean, what's the best way for them to go, hey, I would really like to try that because this looked really easy, right?
Yeah. So actually, we have a website. Let me just pull this up. It's called AKA. The short link is here, and this is called Build an App Using SQL Server. I'm wearing the shirt, so.
I know, I got to get me one of those shirts.
Yeah, so, you know, so here we have a bunch of languages that show, you know, how do you connect to and build around a application, build an application around SQL Server. So, you know, one of the things I just showed was Python using Mac OS. So if you go down just this link, this page. We have a page just step by step, just walk through, just copy and paste the code. It's as simple as that to really understand.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
So in the second, the second part of this page is, using
Python to connect.
To connect, as well as I also have that bootcamp example that I just showed.
Yep.
It's also here, using the bootcamp example to connect and create. So you can get started on this page as well. And after this video, we'll also have all the links that I just demoed today available, and it's already
up there. And we'll put these links in the description of the show so people can start playing with it, but I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, neat.
Cool. I love that. That's just cool, because it just, because we've had Tobias and Slava on all the time, and they showed, look, how to start up SQL Server, things like that, and it's always a hoot to have them on. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they showed that they've always stressed is this app compatibility, performance, and they're like, look, we're not going to put anything out unless you can do something like that, right? And the performance is there. And so this kind of just validates and shows everything we've been preaching for, 6, 9, 12 months, right?
Very really cool. Focused about the experience.
Yeah, the experience. All right. So surprise time, I think let's get. So what we've done is, and I'll let you introduce them. So we actually have, via Skype, some folks who have actually are using this.
Yeah, so we have, before getting introduce these folks, I just want to show this one website. It's called The Feed the US. This is a WordPress site, but it's not any WordPress site. It is actually a Project NAMI project. Essentially, what this is WordPress deployed using SQL Server.
Okay.
So it's Project NAMI. And today we also have, as Scott mentioned, we have two guests here today. The guests are Spencer and Patrick. They are from the Project NAMI. They're the creators themselves.
Awesome.
So let me just open up the Skype here, and they have, here we have Spencer and Patrick, and today we're gonna have them share a demo.
Okay. You guys there?
Hey guys.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. So we'll let them, it's your turn. All right. So you wanna lead it in there or?
Yeah, sounds good. And one of the things that we were talking about is, apps running on SQL Server on Linux. And, WordPress is all over the web.
Yep.
And one of the things that also work against SQL Server on Linux is also Project NAMI.
Yep.
And today we have Spencer and Patrick talk a little bit about Project NAMI, Project NAMI and how we could do an import and export into Project NAMI using SQL Server on Linux.
Awesome. Well, Spencer and Patrick, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right, so which one of you wants to go first?
Well, I guess I will. I understood y'all had some questions about Project NAMI also.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Question, John, we just want to see something cool.
Yeah.
So no specific questions.
So, actually, I think we could start with one question refresh a few of the audience members. And one of them is, Patrick and Spencer, can you just answer the question of why Project NAMI? Why use it over the traditional WordPress?
Well, let's back up even further. What is it? I think you gave it kind of what
okay.
is it. What is it and why, right?
Yeah.
Well, so about 4 years ago is when we started working on this, and we had a need to run WordPress on the Azure environment, but we really wanted to take advantage of Azure SQL DB. We think it's just one of the best, if not the best, PaaS relational database platform out there. So we took on the job of making sure that we could do this fork so that we could operate on there and take advantage of the high availability and everything that just comes baked into the platform.
Okay, cool.
And myself, I've been a SQL developer and DBA for over 20 years, and I really wanted that familiar environment. I wanted to be able to keep using the knowledge that I've built and not have to, worry about MySQL, which is, of course, the predominant database platform for WordPress. We really wanted to just make this work in an environment that we were more comfortable with.
Yep. Okay. Very cool. Right, and so how much work did it take? How much work did it take to do that, to get that to work on SQL?
It was a lot of trial and error. We actually did the development directly on Azure in web apps and in Azure SQL DB, so that we could guarantee compatibility. It took us about 8 weeks to get everything stable.
Oh, not bad.
Neat. And I have an add-on question to that. how much more work did it really take to support SQL Server on Linux?
Yeah. Good follow-up. Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question, but good.
Yeah, so from our standpoint to support it, we do have to stay in sync with the updates that WordPress puts out, because you can't just take a WordPress update and drop it on top of it. You'll undo everything that makes it work with SQL Server. Mm-hmm. So when a major release comes out, it takes us about a week or two to merge everything in, make sure everything's stable. But when the security updates come out, the incremental releases in between, we usually get those done in a matter of hours.
Cool. Mm. Okay.
But how much more work did it take to support Azure SQL DB and SQL Server running on Windows to also support SQL Server on Linux as a platform?
Zero. Zero. We had nothing to do. Once y'all made the commitment to make this work on Linux and provided the driver support for PHP and everything, there was nothing for us to do. It just worked.
Wow, that's great.
Very cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to see. That's
neat.
That's cool.
So with that said, I just went on the GitHub page that for Project Nami, and I did see a statement. One of the updates there is that you guys also have a list of support for SQL Server on Linux. I think with that said, Spencer, would it be possible for you to show us a demo on that import or migration?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me do a quick screen share here. Let me know if you guys could see that.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, so this is something, and Patrick can back me up on this. I have been pining for Linux support for this since before we even released Project Nami publicly. I absolutely love working in that environment, but as Patrick mentioned, we wanted to be able to have SQL Server and be able to access that. And one of my favorite parts about supporting enterprise sites in the past and presently is being able to use WP CLI in a Linux sandbox to be able to manage that data. And finally now, because of all the awesome work that you guys have done, you guys being Microsoft, we can actually do that now. So we've got the SQL SRV PHP module, which allows us to be able to take the Project Nami code that we have and literally just drop it in. So this demo that I have, I just set up this morning. It's not even something that I've had laying around. This was super easy to set up.
Okay.
And sort of what I want to show is how easy it is to not only move sites around and data around between a site that's running in Azure on SQL Azure, so in a web app, and then move that over to, say, something that's running on Linux with also SQL Server and that new PHP driver. It's extremely easy. And WordPress, and by extension Project Nami, makes that easy because it's a simple process with just an XML file. And I know we get a lot of questions about that. Well, does that work? Like, can I move my site over? And it's as easy to move a site between a Project Nami installation on Azure to a Linux distribution of Project Nami as it is to move between WordPress installs and WordPress installs to Project Nami installs. It's extremely easy. So I'll stop jabbering now. And what I want to do is show you guys an actual, real example. So I'm going to migrate the Project Nami site over to this site that I've got set up. This is running on a installation of Ubuntu 16.4 in Azure. It's just a VM that I set up this morning. And as you can see, this site is completely empty. I feel like this is the part where the magician goes, I've got nothing up this sleeve and nothing up that sleeve. So this is completely empty. We've got no users except me. And I'm just going to go over here and do the whole process. So this is our live site in Project Nami. And I'm just going to come down into Tools and grab a quick export. I'm just going to grab all the content. And this is the same process as it would be for WordPress. It's exactly the same in Project Nami. There's zero difference.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I've got this XML file here now that I pulled down. And so here is the Ubuntu VM. So again, nothing up my sleeve there. And I'm just going to upload this XML that I've just downloaded to my desktop up into the cloud. And that should take just a second here. There we go. Okay. And there it is. So the process for this is extremely easy. Prior to this, we have not been able to fully run WP CLI because some of its components, like Shell, for example, are built on Linux constructs that can't easily be ported over. So with this, we're able to have the full-blown set of WP CLI support and also run with SQL Azure. So it's just super exciting. But here's how to import. So I'll just do WP import dash dash authors equals create. And then I'll just pass it the import file. And in the case of a larger site where maybe you had 100 XML files, which is the synonym for the WordPress WXR, you could just pass it a folder of those or even a zip file. So we're going to go ahead and run that. And it's extremely fast. The web importer is very slow.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're going to come back over here now, and we can see that we've got users.
Oh, my goodness.
And we can see that we've got all of the posts from Project Nami. So if we go to the front end here, which before it was empty, we now have the site completely migrated over. So this is it really is as simple as that. You could activate the Project Nami theme here, and you'd be done.
Wow.
So and that was awesome. Where was the, where did the, and I'm going to ask a very, sorry, a junior stupid question, because where did the database come into play here? Because I understand you exported the site, right?
Uh-huh.
But where did the database, I think what I missed was where did the database come into play here?
Okay, so I have a local database running here.
Yep.
On this Ubuntu server.
Yep.
Okay, so this is running on Linux.
Yep.
And then Project Nami, so here, up in the cloud, is powered by SQL Azure. So
oh, okay.
I pulled an export from WordPress, which built that based on data that was in the SQL Azure database instance.
The schema and everything, is that what it did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay,
it's
an XML file with all of the site data.
Well, okay, yeah. So it pulled down the XML contained SQL. All the database information, schema, users,
exactly.
Things like that. Okay.
Yep. Right.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So basically, by downloading and uploading, which contained, you went from SQL, Azure SQL Database to SQL on Linux through a simple export.
Yep. And the other cool thing, which
awesome.
Might not be as apparent or as intuitive, is that, and for Linux users like myself, this is extremely enjoyable to have this finally.
Yep.
But a site like ProjectNami.org, which again is running in SQL Azure,
mm-hmm.
as a web app, I can actually configure, it's very simple, I can configure this this instance that I have running in Ubuntu. I can actually make WordPress connect to that database and access production data from WP CLI in the sandbox, which is extremely powerful for managing enterprise sites.
Yeah,
very cool.
That's awesome. So when they create when I create a WordPress site now, I can specify Azure SQL Database, SQL on Linux, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, you can seamlessly run it anywhere you want now.
And if I want to, like you showed, I can export from one and import to another.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, that's Spencer and
Patrick.
Patrick, sorry. that appreciate your time. That is very cool. I think one of the great things about this is that we can Skype you in and really show, our viewers how, some of our awesome customers are using our technologies. And this is just one awesome way. And I really appreciate your time in supporting this. This is great. So thank you very much.
Yes.
Thanks a lot for having us.
All right. So, all right, let's wrap up. Spencer and Patrick, thank you. Vin, thanks for coming. This is, I think, hopefully we're just touching the tip of the iceberg here, because
yes.
I think there's just a lot more we can talk about this.
Yeah.
And maybe we have these guys, you and these guys come back and show more about this. This would be awesome.
For sure. We would love to have the Project Nami team, Spencer and Patrick here joining us in the future.
Yep. Hey, next time you guys are in Seattle, let us know. We'll have you on the show.
Sure.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.